Now more than ever, it's critical that customers find accurate information about your business. LocalWorks by Yahoo Small Business makes it easy to add, edit, and publish business information across 70-plus local directories from a single dashboard. Ensure your business is found with LocalWorks and save 10% today by using code LWPODCAST. Visit yahoosmallbusiness.com/local to find out more.
Following is a paid program on 630 WLAP.
This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. Your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
We're not gonna take it.
An only child. Son, his hands were meant for different work, and his heart was known to none. He left his home and went his lone and solitary way, and he gave to me a gift I know I never can repay.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, Tom's guest is Chris McCarron, who really requires no introduction. He is a retired American Thoroughbred Horse Racing Hall of Fame jockey, mounted his first horse ever at 16 and a half years old, and was racing professionally by 18. It's going to be a good one. Over to you, Tom.
Okay, I'm starting with Psalm 20. King James Version, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but are risen and we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. That's Psalm 20. I met Chris McCarron probably 4 years ago at a gathering at a cousin of mine's house, and we talked, and I figured out who he was, and a few months later we went to Churchill, several of us. It was in June, and I think it was a Stephen Foster was that night. And there was a horse called Gun Runner that was running. And right before the race, we went down in the paddock, and Chris was talking to the people, just so easy and nice. They all knew him, and he was introducing me to different people, and I thought it was very nice because I'm no guy in the horse business. But I was struck by his kindness and his thoughtfulness and his record in racing is pretty darn good. You know, 2 Kentucky Derbies, 5 Breeders' Cup Classics, numerous other Derby Day races and Derby weekend races, and a lot of Grade Ones, and he won 21% of everything he rode. So, you know, it's just really neat to have him here. And Chris, thanks for coming in. And I would just like to start off by talking a little bit about your youth. I know you were a hockey fan and big-time Boston Bruins fan, but you got into horse racing at a very young age, and you stuck with it.
Yeah. First of all, thanks very much for having me, Tom. It's a real pleasure to be here. Well, I was one of nine children. Grew up in Dorchester, Massachusetts, the biggest section of Boston. My parents were very devout Catholics. I went to 12 years of parochial school. I went to St. Brendan's Grammar School and then Christopher Columbus High School, wow. Which was taught by Franciscan priests. And yeah. So I've been a faithful believer in God my whole life and Jesus, and it's been a big part of my life. So I started, my brother Greg is 7 years my elder, and he was attending his first semester of college at the age of 18 in Boston. And he had a part-time job, and one of the ladies who he worked with kept telling him that he's too small to be pushing boxes. He was a stock boy.
Yeah.
She was saying he's too small to be pushing boxes and lifting all that heavy stuff and everything, that he's small enough to become a jockey if he wanted to. Well, he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know what she was talking about. I don't think Greg had ever attended a race at the track. And so I certainly hadn't. And so he followed her lead. She set up an appointment for him with a gentleman by the name of Tom Beatham, was general manager at Suffolk Downs in East Boston. And he, in turn, introduced Greg to a trainer named Odie Cleland, who was very well known. Odie's actually from Kentucky, and he was well known for bringing out young boys and girls to become jockeys. Not too many girls at the time, because girls weren't able to get licensed as a jockey until 1968. And so Greg quit school, unbeknownst to my parents and our family. He didn't tell anybody until he had been working at the track for a couple of months. And so when one night at dinner, he revealed to everybody what he was doing. And my mom drops her fork and she says, "Over my dead body. No son of mine is ever going to be involved with a bunch of derelicts, degenerates, and gamblers and so forth." You see, my parents' view of the racetrack was molded from attending the races twice a year with the Knights of Columbus organization.
Right.
They would have a trek to Suffolk Downs or a trek to Rockingham Park up in Salem, New Hampshire. And their opinion of, although they enjoyed watching the races, their eye kind of caught the glimpses of what we call stupors. You know, people who would walk around looking down at the floor in the grandstand trying to pick up tickets that might be good.
Yeah.
And they had an old stogie in their mouth, binoculars around their neck.
Not all the racetracks around are like Keeneland. You know, we kind of have this view of racetracks as being these pristine-type places, but Keeneland is definitely a departure from the norm.
Without question, yeah. Keeneland is a top-class place, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And Suffolk Downs was not.
You're right.
So anyway, long story short, Greg got a job. Just after a few months on the job, he got kicked square in the face by a horse.
Gosh.
And he spent about 3 weeks in Mass General Hospital, and this is 1967. And so my mom thought, well, this is good.
It'll get him away from it.
Exactly. It'll cause enough fear in him that he won't want to go back there. And she was thankful to God that he wasn't killed. And so as soon as he was well, he was back at the track working. And so about 2 years later, on August 16th of 1969, he rode his first winner on a horse called Active Circle, who was owned by his boss, Odie Clown. And Greg went on to have a terrific year as an apprentice. He set a record at Rockingham Park for number of wins for an apprentice, and he went on to have a stellar career. Really, he won about 2,800 races. And
wow.
Yeah, he did very well. So I was totally enthralled with his riding and his activities, so much so that I would, when I got out of high school, when I got out of school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was going to school in the north end of Boston, which is only 3 train stops from Suffolk Downs.
Yeah.
Suffolk has its own train stop. So I would have to climb the fence and watch the races.
The train has a certain name in Boston. Is it the MTA?
The T, yeah. It's the MBTA, Mass Bay Transit.
I just think of that old Kingston Trio song, Charlie on the MTA, he ride forever beneath the streets of Boston.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It was called the MTA for a long time, and then they changed it to Mass Bay Transit Authority.
Okay.
So anyway, I would sneak into the track because you had to be 18 years of age back then in order to get in, and I was only 16. So I was totally enthralled with what he was doing. And so between my junior and senior year in high school, Greg got me a job with Odie as a hot walker. I walked horses for about 2.5 months. And I went back and graduated high school in 1972. And the very next day, I was back on the track.
Wow. Okay. When did you – let's talk about your first ride and your first win, and what did that feel like?
My first ride was uneventful, other than I ate a lot of dirt and a lot of sand.
Was that at Rockingham Park?
No. Fortunately, my boss, Odie, was getting on in years. He was in his 70s, and he no longer wanted to spend half the year in New England and the other half of the year in New Orleans. He wanted to find a place that was that had year-round racing and on a good circuit. Maryland fit the bill.
Okay.
So he moved and stayed.
Laurel,
Bowie, and Pimlico.
Okay.
That's right. But he was mostly stabled at Bowie.
Okay.
I rode my first race on January 24th of 1974. I was 18 years of age, soon to turn 19. And I won my first race on a horse called Erezev at Bowie Racecourse. It was my 10th mount.
Are you one of these guys that remembers pretty much every horse you were ever on?
I rode over 34,000 races.
That's why I'm asking you that. I knew what the answer was going to be. Yeah.
No, I remember the special times.
The special
sure.
horses.
Absolutely.
So let's say you ended up on, I'll just use the thing, a gun runner type horse mm-hmm. that was a freak. And he was a freak.
Yeah.
And you had to have been on some horses that when you were on them, you knew they were total freaks.
Yeah, Ali Sheba was one for sure. John Henry.
John Henry, the gelding.
By the time I got
He was never going to breed.
I hate to break it to you, but you're in for a big surprise. 5 years from now, Jane, who's resigning today, will ring the NASDAQ bell, officially launching her company on the public market. And what you'll soon realize is that Jane stole your most valuable data to start her new company on her way out the door. Learn how Code 42 Insider can stop data theft and protect your organization's most valuable assets. Visit code42.com to learn more.
So they just raced him forever, right?
Yeah, he ran until he was 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what's it like riding a freak? Do you even have to do anything? Or I mean,
oh yeah, sure. Yeah. You have to remain in control.
Yeah,
you have to try to ask and tell the horse what you want them to do, when you want them to show all of their talent and a lot of horses you want to get them to relax in the first part of the race and then get aggressive when the time comes.
So I read an article where you were being talked. You said some of these horses, even the really good ones, the best they ever gave you was 70 or 80%. But then there were some that maybe almost knew to win they were going to have to give 100, tell me about that. I mean, I'm interested in knowing about horses that give it all and horses that just give as much as they need to win the race.
Yeah, Ali Sheba was that way, and so was John Henry, for that matter. They were the type of horse that once they got in front, they figured their job was done, and they would kind of, you could feel them ease themselves up a little
bit. And no matter what you did, you could show them the thing, or it didn't matter.
No, it did matter. What I would have to do is try to time it right.
Okay.
So I don't want to make the lead too quickly with either Ali Sheba or John Henry, because I know that they're going to wait on their company. They're going to wait on their competition.
They let them come to them.
But then they go again.
But if they're lucky, I mean, they could run out of real estate too.
This is true. Yeah. So that's why I say riding a horse that waits when he makes a lead, you have to time it right.
Okay. Let me ask you something. This is a kind of a crazy thing to ask, maybe.
I'll let you know if it is.
Okay. What goes, briefly, what goes into winning a major stakes race? And that would include the Derby and the Breeders' Cup and those kinds of things. There's got to be something that sets up for it to make it, go off like it's going to go off. I'm just so interested in what's involved in that.
Well, yeah, things have to fall into place, that's for sure. It all depends on what kind of competition's in the race. It all depends on how much better your horse is than the rest of them. And so you have to map out a strategy before. I always mapped out a strategy before I even walk into the paddock.
How would you do that?
By reading the daily racing form and looking over the past performances. And I would determine how much speed there was in the race, what kind of style my horse had, and I would go out there and try to incorporate what I learned by reading the past performances. Now, I walk in the paddock sometimes, and the trainer may give me a totally different idea of how the race is going to unfold. So early in my career, when I didn't really have what I would call the clout and the respect of a lot of trainers, they would give me specific instructions on what to do while I'm riding in the race. But as I got along with regard to my success, a lot of the trainers would just leave it up to me. They wouldn't give me any specific instructions. They just tell me how they think the race is going to unfold, and then I go out there and ride my own race. But I always found it a lot easier to ride for trainers who didn't give me specific instructions, because anything can happen leaving the starting gate. A trainer may say, I want you to go to the lead in this race, and if my horse doesn't break well and gets kind of hampered leaving there, then I'm going to have difficulty making the lead unless I really use my horse hard, which is not something I want to do.
Sure. Let me ask you this question. What's the most memorable experience, and I know it's probably several, that you ever had on a racetrack? There may be one that stands out, or maybe more than one, but I'm just interested in the experience and something that you saw that was very unusual.
Well, without question, the Derby, the Kentucky Derby, is the I won a bunch of derbies, but Louisiana, Arkansas, California, Ohio. But the Kentucky Derby is the big kahuna. That's the race that every horseman that ever dealt with a thoroughbred aspires to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
You can only do it once a year. A colt or a filly only has one chance, and that's when they're 3 years old. If they don't get the job done that year, they don't have another chance. They don't get a second chance at it. So I was fortunate enough to ride in 18 of them. So the Kentucky Derby, winning that for the first time was the thrill of a lifetime.
Who was that horse?
Ali Sheba, 1987.
Okay, so that was a Calumet horse, wasn't it?
No, Aladar, his daddy.
Oh, Aladar.
Right, his daddy, Aladar, was a Calumet
horse. So who was the owner of Ali Sheba and the trainer in that race?
Pam and Dorothy Scarborough from Midland, Texas, along with Clarence, the patriarch of the family. And Jack Vanberg, Hall of Fame trainer.
Jack Vanberg.
He was the trainer of Ali Sheba.
Okay, tell me how that race went, if you don't mind. I mean, just briefly, you know.
Well, I won the bluegrass on him 9 days before the Derby that year. But
yeah, that was back when bluegrass winners went straight to the Derby and were usually the favorite.
That's right, yeah. But Ali Sheba made the lead about the eighth pole at Keeneland, and there were tire marks across the track from where the gate was pulled across.
Right.
And Ali Sheba saw those tracks and he jumped over them.
That's what Elliot talked about. Elliot talked about that when I had him on there, that very thing. He talked about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And when he jumped, he went out a little bit and bumped a horse, and I got to the wire first, only to be disqualified by the stewards for that interference that he caused. So now 9 days later, he's in the Derby.
Well, wait a minute. So you didn't win the Bluegrass. You got...
I got DQ'd.
DQ'd. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So now 9 days later, now the Bluegrass is a month before the Derby. Back then, it was only 9 days, so it took quite a horse to be able to come back in 9 days. And run to the best of their ability, which he did. But I had a very rough trip in the Kentucky Derby on Ellie Sheba. We got bothered about a 16th of a mile out of the gate, so much so that I had to take up sharply. Then we finally settled into stride. I was way back around the first turn. He started picking off horses as he went down the backside, and around the far turn, he was full of run. Full of run. And we turned for home. I only had one horse left to go by, and that was a horse called Bet Twice.
Bet Twice, yeah.
And Bet Twice swerved out in front of us. Ali Sheba clipped his heels and tripped and almost fell. That would have been a terrible wreck because there were 17 horses behind me.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ali Sheba regained his composure. He was such a great athlete, Tom, that he was able to get back up on his feet and go on and win despite the interference.
That's unbelievable. Who's the best trainer you ever worked with? The most enjoyable person to ever work with?
Ron McAnally is a Hall of Fame trainer. He trained John Henry as well as numerous other stakes, hundreds of stakes winners. He was always so easy to ride for because he had the utmost confidence in my abilities and my judgment that he always left me alone, and he never got upset after a race. He never had a cross word. Ron's still alive. He's in his late 80s now, and he is one of the kindest, sweetest men I've ever had the pleasure of working for.
That's great, honey.
All right, that's my cue. We need to take a break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show with Chris McCarron, powered by Dupree Financial Group, coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street in Lexington. We've got a lot more to come. Stay tuned. We'll be back just after the break. Sit tight.
For they heard another call. One went to Chicago and the other to St. Paul. And I'm in Colorado when I'm not in some hotel. Living out this life I've chose and gone to know so well.
This is what's happening.
Make all adults eligible to be vaccinated no later than May 1.
They see him as the migrant president.
Come back throughout the day.
People who come to the border are turned away.
This,
Governor Cuomo.
Possible impeachment.
Is News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with little tips for a healthier planet. It sure feels good to step into a warm car after letting it heat up for a few minutes. However, this practice wastes gas, increases emissions, and pollutes the air. Limit idling your car to no more than 3 minutes to save money at the gas station and improve air quality. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
Warmer weather is just around the corner, and soon your customers will be venturing out more. Connect with them while they're on the go by putting the power of radio to work for your business. Go to iHeartAdBuilder.com and start advertising on stations like this one, making sure your business is top of mind. Use iHeartAdBuilder to create your own custom radio ad quickly and cost-effectively. Just click, listen, and approve, and then hear it on the radio. For your free customized ad, sign up now at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Did you know just the simple act of dressing for work can make you more productive? According to a recent study by the Wall Street Journal, getting dressed for work each morning can even improve your performance. Untucked shirts are the easy way to look sharp instantly, and they're designed to be worn untucked, so you'll stay comfortable all day long. So for your next Zoom call, lose the t-shirt and grab an untucked shirt instead. It'll also be your go-to when we start returning to all the things we've been missing. Try one today at any Untucked store or at untucked.com. Untucked shirts, designed to be worn untucked.
See mostly dry conditions out there for this Saturday, with a few scattered showers around for parts of the Commonwealth. It mostly is staying out to our west and southwest, however. Temperatures today going to be feeling nice, though. If we do get in on some dry time, enjoy it outdoors, because temperatures back into the mid to upper 50s. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Adam Burgerston.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue.
We're always on the move, in a hurry to get to the next spot. But the Kentucky State Police is here to remind you to drive with tact. It stands for ticketing aggressive cars and trucks. So if you're speeding, swerving, or cutting off vehicles, your trip could suddenly come to a stop. If you're driving next to a truck, leave extra space and share the road. Don't worry, drive happy. It will make our Kentucky roadways safe for everyone. This message is brought to you by the Kentucky State Police and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Hey, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Nation, this is News Radio 630. WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Some big news. Since Election Day, almost 5 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphone. You can trust Newsmax TV. Watch it for free anytime and go to Newsmax.com for breaking news. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Call your operator if they don't carry it. Plus, watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, and smart TVs like Samsung and LG. Newsmax is real news for real people. Start
Since
watching
COVID,
today.
People are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue. And Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? They're here, but you can do more than wait for your turn. Here's how. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with. And it's risky to be indoors with them, too. And masks? Well, they protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them. Wear a mask, watch your distance, and make a big difference now.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
630 WLAP.
Thank you.
raised in the trees of western Kentucky, on wobbly knees, with mama beside you to help you along. You'll soon be a growing up strong.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the hour. Joining Tom this week is Hall of Fame jockey Chris McCarron. Without further ado, there's a lot of ground to cover, so take it away, Tom.
You know, all he had to do was change Western to Central. It would have rhymed just, where is a horse farm in Western Kentucky? Give me a break. I don't know.
I'm sure there are a few.
I don't think there are any.
Well, Kentucky Downs is not too far from Bowling Green.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They're all shippers, though, pretty much.
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
So, let's just talk about the horse industry a little bit, which is such a big thing in Kentucky. You got farms, you got racetracks, you got trainers, you got owners, you got jockeys, you got all the
breeders,
veterinarians, breeders, bloodstock agents, you know,
the guys who raise the hay, the guys who sell the hay.
You got it.
Yeah.
I mean, all people that sell, you know,
the feed.
Yeah. Shovels for mucking stalls with. I mean,
right.
The whole thing. It's a massive industry in this state. And yet so few people really know that much about it. It doesn't get much press coverage. People don't talk about it. They regard it as difficult to figure out or get to. Well, you know, these horse farms, they got to be careful about letting thousands of people on there because the animals can get spooked and that sort of thing. But it is really a big deal. And the animal themselves are just remarkable sort of creatures.
Without question, Tom, it's definitely one of the most important industries in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. All the peripheral businesses that surround the thoroughbred industry is enormous. As we talked about veterinarians, talk about people that raise the hay and the feed and all that, and all the grooms and the exercise riders, hot walkers that are employed by the trainers and the farms. It's huge, absolutely huge.
Yeah, I mean, there is no place in the owning a couple of pieces of thoroughbreds and traveling around with our mutual friend I mentioned to different farms, you cannot, it's like Hollywood and movies. You need this guy, you need that guy. He's a mile away. You know, you can get him right now. In order to sustain an enterprise like the horse industry, everything needs to be located near each other. Got to go breed a stallion to this mare. Well, she's over here, you know, 5 miles away, instead of having to go halfway across the country or get on a plane and go to Australia or something. I know they do that, but, you know, it's a lot easier. You can throw her in the van or throw the stallion in there, whammo, take off. Stuff being in close proximity makes a big difference, right?
Oh, without question. They do have there are some van rides for the mares that the stallions always stay at the farm where they stand.
Oh, they do. So the mare comes to them.
That's correct. Yeah, it would be too dangerous to ship the stallions because they
get crazy
when they're studdish. Boy, they can be mean. You know, they can be very aggressive. So the stallions,
they don't even put another horse in the
paddock with them. No, absolutely not. They'd be fighting. Somebody
they'd try to kill it.
Somebody would get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, it could be a pretty good trek from, say, Overbrook Farm down in South Lexington all the way up to Paris or all the farms in Bourbon County. That's a bit of a trek, but it's still doable by truck and trailer.
Yeah.
So you're right. The proximity that the farms around here can enjoy is definitely real. And it's a Central Kentucky is considered the thoroughbred capital of the world, and it is considered so by people in other countries. I was over in Ireland many years ago, and when I said, I hope I don't offend anybody, but I live in the horse capital, thoroughbred capital of the world. And this Irishman says, oh, we're well aware of that, son. We're well aware of it. And Ireland is a big horse racing in Ireland
is huge. I would argue that the horse, not just race horses, but the horse in general, is deeper into their culture than it is here. I mean,
that's true.
You know, the average Irish person loves horses.
That's right.
And yep. And so, but there, you know, it's not always a racehorse. Maybe it's another kind of
horse. A working horse. Yeah.
Yeah, a working horse or pulling a cart with the travelers in it or mm-hmm. something like that. You have a unique type of people that they're kind of like gypsies that work on the backsides of these tracks, you know, that they travel around and they're there. And, you know, talk a little bit about that aspect of the track, the characters and people that are on the backside.
Well, the people that work on the backstretch of racetracks and on the farms, generally speaking, are very hard workers. They rise the crack of dawn every morning, even before dawn every morning, and they work all day long.
Yeah.
And it's hard work. It's you got to be very careful working around the thoroughbreds. It can be dangerous. So they're a very, very valuable asset to the trainers and the farm owners that hire these people, and they're a very, very important part of the whole.
Sometimes there's a lot of chemical dependency and things, and I know that people, they've organized chaplaincy things and stuff for spiritual type of programs for some of the folks that work on the backside, because they do have a tendency sometimes to get involved in different substances.
Well, yeah, that holds true for just about any industry. There are a lot of people
have
difficulty with addiction in many different walks of life too. But you're right. There's a wonderful organization called the Racetrack Chaplaincy of America, which Pat Day is very much involved
in. He is.
And he's a terrific minister. He's carrying the word of God wherever he travels, and he does a great job doing that.
Yeah. All right, Chris. You personally had some struggles in this area. You're free to say as much as you want or as little as you want, but I did, based on our discussion, you had said you would be willing to disclose some of those aspects. And
yeah, sure, certainly. Well, I've been battling the disease of alcoholism for probably the better part of the last 10 years, and I'm in recovery right now. I feel pretty confident as I sit here today that I have a much better chance of staying sober than I did just a couple years ago.
Right.
So my alcohol of choice was wine. I love to drink wine, but I got to the point where I was just drinking too much of it, and I'm involved in a 12-step program to help me with my recovery. And the very first step of the 12 steps was something that the second part of the first step was something that I just didn't want to recognize, and that
unmanageable.
Yeah. Admitted that I was powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable.
Yeah.
Well, I knew for a long time I was powerless over the substance, but I was still able to get work done. I was still able to function. And so I kept thinking to myself, well, it's not really holding me back, but in fact it really was.
Yeah.
You know? And so, ever since I retired from my school, the North American Racing Academy,
right.
I live alone, and I would get lonely at times and just drink all the time,
sure.
Which is a bad way to go.
Right. Let me ask you this question. You've been around a lot of really pretty successful people, and you are one yourself. Do you think that people that are fairly successful sometimes have a higher propensity to be addictive or to possibly have addictive personalities that fall prey to these things?
Oh, yeah, without question. And it's been medically proven, scientifically proven, that it is genetic. I have something within my genes that caused me to have a very addictive personality.
Right.
And so... long time ago, I'd smoked pot. And that was a difficult thing for me to quit, but I substituted the pot for wine.
Okay.
And so, but now I substitute my my addiction to spending as much time
with your grandson.
My grandson, that's right.
Yeah, that's a better addiction right
there. You better believe it. And I'm having the time of my life.
That's fantastic. You know, I feel like that we do a lot of the, you know, there's a lot of these things that we do. We're trying to fill something inside of us, you know, whether it be alcohol, drugs, and or you can choose to fill it with good things, things that are of a spiritual nature. I'm going to tell you this. When I'm around horses, it's like a side of me that there's something there about the horse that it feels something. Well, there's a saying they say, it's not about the horse, it's about the man with the horse. There's something about horses that does something for people. I don't know if that's the way you feel about horses also, but I do.
I think it was Winston Churchill who was quoted saying, there's something about the outside of a horse that does well for the inside of a
man. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a very good horseman himself. And you know, I would be remiss, Tom, if I didn't mention that we're in the preliminary stages of organizing a golf tournament that's going to happen during the Keeneland Fall Meet. We will come on here again in a few months and share more details with your audience. And it's going to benefit the Alano Club,
with
downtown Lexington.
Great organization. It's housed numerous 12-step recovery meetings for years, open to anybody that walks in the door, in an area of town that a little bit rougher, but you know, it's an okay area, but it's, you know, it's been a great thing for people who were doing, say, 90 meetings in 90 days or something. They just show up at the Alano Club. There's plenty of support, good people that are always there. On East 2nd Street.
That's right. Without question, it's a very important club to belong to, and they house countless meetings on a weekly basis there, 12-step recovery, and I attend those meetings as well.
Okay. That's great. I do want to ask you a couple more questions about the industry. You know, COVID, we were out at Keeneland a couple of times, and it was so grim because there was nobody there. And, you know, we got to get more people back at the racetracks and watching and betting on horses. That's going on online. But, you know, out there excited about being around horses, do you ever get asked by people in the industry to help with certain causes pertaining to the horse industry and racing and that sort of thing? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah, without question. Back in 1987, our dear friend Tim Conway donated $10,000 to an organization. He wanted to donate $10,000 to an organization that helped injured jockeys and exercise riders.
Right.
So Tim, his wife, my wife Judy, and myself formed the Don Macbeth Memorial Jockey Fund, which was in existence for over 20 years. And it went by the wayside a few years back, but we raised over $2.5 million that 20 years time to assist not permanently disabled jockeys, but disabled jockeys. Well, we did help the permanently disabled as well, but it was mostly injured jockeys and exercise riders who, when you're not working, you have nothing coming in. If you can't throw a leg over a horse, or if you can't...
I mean, do they even have health insurance doing what they do?
It's up to them. They don't have it provided by any employer, no.
Yeah. So they got to pay for it, which is expensive.
Absolutely, yeah.
So a lot of them probably don't have health insurance, and then they get harmed or injured. And they're dealing with these medical bills and things of that nature.
Precisely.
Not easy. Oh, no. Gosh.
It's a tall order.
Is this thing no longer in existence?
No, that's right. We we folded it not too long before Tim passed away.
He was the actor, right? Tim
Conway. Actor comedian. Yeah, he was on the Carol Burnett Show for
years. Yes,
yes. What a dear, dear McHale's friend he was.
Navy. He was on McHale's Navy.
Yep, Ensign Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Ernie Borgnine.
Yeah, Ernest Borgnine. Right. That's exactly right. All right, talk a little bit more about Boston. I just want to hear a couple. We got about 5 minutes. Tell me a little more about living there as a child and the sports scene and just what it was like being in Boston.
Well, when I was growing up there, mind you, I left there when I was 17 years of age.
Right.
And I would get on a train. I would walk to a train station. It was about a mile walk to Ashmont Station. I would get on the train and take it to Haymarket Square and take a trolley. Once I got off the train, I would take a trolley and end up in the North End. The whole trip was about 45 minutes.
Really?
And that's where I went to high school.
Okay. So you took the trolley to high school?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. And I absolutely love Boston. And when I was growing up, I thought Boston was this incredibly huge city. I mean, it went on forever, you know?
Right.
But it's not. Boston only comprises about 44 square miles.
Right.
From border to border to border to border.
I'm going to tell you a crazy deal is trying to drive the streets of Boston and figure out where in the heck you're going.
Right.
That is the most strange place, and try to get back to Logan Airport, which is right in the middle of everything, from being somewhere out around. I mean, you got to use a GPS. And before GPS, I don't know how any tourists could come in there and drive around and know where they're going.
Well, the best thing to do if you're going to go to Boston and take a tour is to not even rent a car. Just take the subway or the train from Logan Airport into Boston, because Logan Airport's in East Boston.
Right.
So take the train or trolley to downtown Boston, and you can walk everywhere.
Yeah.
And they've got wonderful tour guides. They've got the ducks, which are
the ducks.
Right. These funny looking boats that actually they do both. They go on the water and they go on the streets as well.
Yeah.
And they've got the Freedom Trail, which was.
So they'll go down in the Charles River with those ducks?
Yeah. Mm hmm. They do, yeah. The Charles River.
Yeah. Charles. So do you have still some family living in Boston?
I do. My brother Ronnie lives in Sandwich down on the Cape. My brother Mark lives in Plymouth. My nephew Michael lives in Plymouth. And my nephew Katie lives right, very close by there. And I have a sister in Barrington, Rhode Island.
That's great.
But I've got 5 brothers and 3 sisters. They're kind of spread out.
Yeah. And you're where in the order?
I am number 7.
Okay. All right.
Lucky 7.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's the name of the farm that I'm just going to work for. A friend of mine, Matthew Pennett.
Yeah. Tell about that.
Sure. A friend of mine just bought a nice farm in Midway. He just came in from Park City, Utah, and he's going to be establishing a broodmare/nursery farm. So I'm jumping in to help him out as much as I can.
And that's called Lucky 7.
Lucky
farm.
7 farm.
You all will mainly be boarding broodmares.
That's correct.
And
yeah.
Things of that nature.
Right.
Okay. That's great. Honey, jump in.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more we can cover, but what I'm looking forward to is Chris coming back and telling us a little bit more about this charity event he's going to spearhead.
The Alano Club.
Right. And it's in the very beginning phases, so he is not going to share a whole lot. So you're going to have to, well, we'll remind you. But you will be coming back in September to hear from Chris again. He's going to come back and share some more. And as always, if you like what you've heard on the Tom Dupree Show, you can always find more Tom Dupree Show on our website, www.dupreefinancial.com. There's a blog and radio tab where we post all of that. We also provide links to websites of our guests that they mentioned. So it's a good resource for a lot of things. I keep trying to get Tom to do a little more writing. He's been doing some great writing on his Facebook page, just kind of recollecting fun memories from his life.
I only write for certain people.
Well, in this case, it would kind of be for yourself since your last name's Dupree. But, okay. You know, however you want to split the hairs, big guy. I'm not even going to, whatever.
Well, we can throw a teaser out there. The event that we're planning is a golf tournament. And it's going to be a celebrity golf tournament, which will involve about a dozen jockeys and some trainers as well. So that's going to happen in October during Keeneland.
That's a perfect way to end. Thank you, Chris McCarron, for joining us for this hour. Stay tuned for the second hour. Our financial guys will join us. We'll be back in just a few.
The news, opinions, and reactions 24/7.
What's happening in our world is important.
This is News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Hey, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.